Hi, this is Glenn Rawson. One of the most powerful ways to share history and heritage is by the telling of stories. We began sharing inspiring stories nearly 30 years ago. Each of those stories is true and was intended to inspire and strengthen faith. Over the years, those stories have reached millions around the world. This podcast is for you to listen, learn, and enjoy.
This next story is in John chapter 12. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany. This is his last trip to Jerusalem. And he stayed at the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. This is after Lazarus has been raised from the dead. And Martha served him a supper. And during the course of the meal, Mary came out with a box, an alabaster box filled with precious ointment. She broke the box and anointed his head, his feet with that ointment. It was very costly. How costly? Judas would protest, why was not this ointment sold for more than 300 pence and the money given to the poor? 300 pence is a day's wages. This is a year's worth of wages, worth of precious oil from India. And she breaks it and pours it on his head and on his feet. And the disciples murmur, or as the translation goes, snort with disgust at the waste and the extravagance of this. But when Jesus, the JST says, when they had said thus, Jesus understood them. He heard the murmuring, or he perceived it. And he said to them, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? For she hath wrought a good work on me. Let her alone. And then JST adds, she hath preserved this ointment until now, that she might anoint me in token of my burial. He goes on to say, the poor you have with you always, but me you have not with you always. And then the JST says, for verily she has come beforehand to anoint my body to the burying. And in this thing that she has done, she shall be blessed, JST. And then he adds this. The JST says, and this which she has done unto me shall be had in remembrance in generations to come, wheresoever my gospel is or shall be preached. That's the JST. I cannot tell you how many rewarding hours pondering, praying, and studying over just that one story I have done, and how rewarding that's been, because the Lord is lifting up Mary, the sister of Martha, the sister of Lazarus, the daughter of Simon the leper. He has lifted her up to all generations of future disciples and said, in effect, remember her. Remember what she has done, and go and be like her. I won't go further to tell you why and how we should be like her. I'll leave it to you to study the King James Version and the JST edition, but it is beautiful. Where's my time? Annie, where are you? Evidently, we got somebody there causing trouble. I'll fast forward. Matthew chapter 24. That's where Jesus is on the Temple Mount. And that's where the Savior pronounces, at first, he says to the Jews, your house shall be left unto you desolate. And then he leaves the Temple Mount and goes across the Kidron Valley to the Mount of Olives. And the disciples come to him and they say to him, somewhat troubled, Lord, tell us, when shall these things be and what is the sign of thy coming? And then in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus gives the famous signs of the times, the signs that accompany his return to the earth in glory the second time. That entire chapter was amended by the prophet Joseph Smith and is now in the Pearl of Great Price and called Joseph Smith Matthew. That's all the JST. And it is powerful when you compare it with the other. And I won't take the time to go through all of that tonight. Let me fast forward to Luke chapter 22. Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. There is so much in the four gospel accounts of the Garden of Gethsemane that the prophet Joseph Smith, through inspiration, adds, corrects, and amends, making the story so much more powerful. For example, it says in the King James Version that Jesus came into the Garden of Gethsemane. Now, this is after the Last Supper. This is after the administration of the sacrament. And there's much there in the sacrament as well about the JST that's doctrinal. But he comes to the Garden of Gethsemane, and it says in the King James Version that he began to be sore amazed and very heavy. And he invited the disciples to come with him into the garden and tarry and watch while he went yonder to pray. But the JST, is so much more rich. They came to a place which was named Gethsemane, and now I quote the JST, which was a garden, and the disciples began to be sore amazed, very heavy, and to complain in their hearts, wondering if this be the Messiah. Can you imagine on that night of nights, when all of us would be burdened on his soul, when he would suffer our sins, the punishment for our sins, our pains, our sicknesses, our weaknesses, our infirmities, in other words, anything painful, unfair, unjust that could pass upon you was placed upon him that night. And in that darkest hour of his existence, his disciples, his closest friends, who had been with him now for 3 years, complained and murmured and doubted and wondered if he really was who he said he was. In other words, they may have physically been there, but emotionally they were not with him. He invites them to sit and watch while he went yonder and prayed. And he does. He goes yonder to pray. And we're familiar with what happens. The King James Version says, "There appeared unto him an angel from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground." Now, we only change one word, two actually, in verse 44. The way it reads in the King James Version is that he sweat profusely. That's all it reads. He sweat profusely. With what? Sweat. But the JST, he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Two words changed, and we clarify that it was not a regular sweat of heavy exertion. No, it was a bloody sweat of atonement. Just one word added and one word deleted. You know that he comes back three times and finds the disciples sleeping each time. JST adds, "And he cometh to them the third time." Now, this is King James Version, "and saith unto them, sleep on now, take rest, it is enough." And then in verse 42, the JST says, "And after they had finished their sleep, he said, rise up, let us be going. He who betrayeth me is at hand." In the moment when he most needed a friend, they were sleeping. And so what does he do? In the kindness of his soul, he lets them take their sleep until they're rested, and then he wakes them up. Now, let's fast forward, and you can pretty much pick it up either in Matthew 27, Mark 15, or Luke 23. But it's when Jesus is brought before Pilate. And Pilate tries on a number of occasions, as you know, to get Jesus released. In fact, 8 times Pilate tries to release Jesus. Now, if you go to Mark chapter 15, there is one JST change here that completely alters that story and makes it shocking. But it matches. It fits. It's the only thing that makes the rest of the story make sense. Now, it was common at the feast for Pilate to release unto them one prisoner. You know this story, Jesus or Barabbas. And there was a man named Barabbas, this is just the regular King James Version, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection and with him who had committed murder in the insurrection. So it's that thing that you're familiar with. Pilate says, whom shall I release unto you, Jesus or Barabbas? Listen to this in the JST. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to deliver Jesus unto them. That completely changes the story. The scribes and the Pharisees hated him vehemently, murder in their hearts because of priestcraft and pride. But the people, those he loved and taught and healed and ministered to, they loved him right down to the very moment. It is often portrayed that the people, the Jews, stood out there and clamored for his blood from the get-go, but they did not. Initially, they came out of curiosity, and when Pilate presented the choice, they asked for Jesus to be delivered to them, not Barabbas. But listen to the rest of it. This is the regular King James Version. But Pilate answered unto them, saying, will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Is that who you want? For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests, this is the regular King James, the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them, as he had before done unto them. In other words, all along the story read that the people desired Jesus to be released, not Barabbas. But the chief priests moved among the people and cried for Jesus to be crucified. And the people took up the chant following their leaders. And Jesus was condemned. And finally, the people cried out, deliver him unto us to be crucified. Away with him. Crucify him. And still, 4 more times, Pilate attempts to release Jesus and is unsuccessful. And he finally consents and lets the people have their way. I know that the Lord will deal with Pilate as he sees fit. But after studying the JST, I have a bit of compassion for Pilate. Yeah, it was judicial murder. And yeah, he delivered the Son of God. But he gave the people what they wanted. Had he not, he would have died. And I know, I agree, perhaps he should have given his life for Jesus. I don't know, but at least I see where he came from and why he did what he did. Last one. You know about the Savior's death on the cross, and there's much that the JST adds there. And you know that he lay in the tomb over a period of about 36 to 40 hours from Friday afternoon until sometime before dawn, Sunday morning. And you know that Mary Magdalene, and Mary his mother, and the other women went down to the tomb to finish the embalming and his burial. And you know that when they got there, one gospel writer says there was 2 angels, another one says there was 1 angel, but the JST corrects it so that you see that there are indeed 2 angels there, witnesses, as it were, of the Savior's resurrection. After all has shook out, Peter and John have come down to the sepulcher and have seen that Jesus is not there, and John understands and believes, we now come to this moment. Mary is there at the tomb, standing without and weeping. She stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. She saw those two angels in white sitting one at the head and the other at the feet of where Jesus had lain. And they said to her, this is all the King James Version, woman, why weepest thou? Because, she said, they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. You see what she's thinking? His body's been stolen by the Jews. I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus, she looked back over her shoulder outside the tomb. There was a man standing there. Jesus, the man standing there, then said to her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And she, supposing him to be the gardener, said, sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. You're the man in charge of this garden. If he had no right to be here, if he couldn't be here, and if you've taken his body away somewhere, tell me where he is, and I will go get him and bear the responsibility for his body. She does not understand. But in her love and anxiety, she will do anything for him. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself back to face him again. And she cried, Rabboni. A long time ago, I was blessed to hear in my heart and in my mind Mary's cry, Rabboni, and to comprehend the emotion behind it, where moments before her tears had been of the utmost grief and pain, now they were instantly catapulted to exalted heights of joy. And in the exaltation of her soul, she cried out, Rabboni. And she came to her feet and ran toward him. The King James Version said, Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. He says, don't touch me. And yet, moments later, the other women in a group, Jesus would appear to them, and they would cluster around him and hold him by the feet. Mary can't touch him, but they can? I don't get it. It never made sense. The JST makes it all make sense. Changes one word. Jesus saith unto her, hold me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. The Spirit of the Lord bore witness to me, not only of Mary's cry, Rabboni, but the feelings of her heart. She ran forward to hold him in her arms, in effect saying, I lost you once. I won't let you go again. And the Savior said, Mary, hold me not. You can't keep me here. I have to go. There's so much more. But you would have to come with me to Israel before I could tell you all the rest of it. This is probably not the time and the place. But I bear witness of the Christ of the JST, the more powerful, the more pure, the more perfect, the more divine, the more kind, the more gentle Christ. I bear witness of the Christ of the Book of Mormon. Any and all out there of whatever faith or whatever degree of faith, if you love the Lord, learn all you can about him. The King James Version is the first witness. The Book of Mormon is an additional witness. The Joseph Smith translation is another witness. We of all people should be bent on feasting on the Lord's word, wherever we can get it. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. My dearly beloved brothers and sisters, Keep the faith. God bless. Be strong.
Thank you for listening. Many of the stories you heard today have been published and are archived at glennrossinstories.com. If you would like more information, you can communicate with us there. We will be back again with another podcast next week.